Today on the Gentleman Geek Podcast, we'll be talking about gaming advice for dads, a merger between giants, and Disney leaving Netflix. We'll close the show with the mailbag segment. If you'd like to listen to one part of the show, we'll have timestamps down in the doobly-doo. But we suggest listening to the whole show. We hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Gentleman Geek Podcast, with your hosts Peter and Andy. Follow us on Twitter at gentleman_geek. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Welcome into the Gentleman Geek Podcast. I am your host, Peter, and with me as always is the cream of the crop, the tip of the top. It's Andy Hara, and there we stop. How is it going today, sir?
How we doing, gentlemen? Hello?
Hello, hello.
Not too bad, not too bad.
All right, well, I think we have a great show for you today to follow up the great show that we had last week. And yeah, we'll get right into the topics now. So the first topic of the day is fatherly advice, subcategory gaming. So we really want to just kind of present maybe some tips to new fathers, current fathers, anybody that seems to be struggling maybe with fatherhood and gaming itself. So let's just get right into it. So the first kind of tip that I wanted to bring up is basically when you come across a game that you want to play, you should really be asking yourself, is this a game you can jump in and out of? What do you think about that?
Well, accessibility is definitely, to me, that's a must. I mean, my motto when I think about, you know, when I want to play is you got to get it in where you can fit it in, you know?
Right.
It's a good motto to have in multiple things, you know, if you catch my drift.
Yeah, absolutely.
But definitely being able to drop the controller at the drop of a dime is definitely, you definitely have to be able to play in first person shooters is, you know, probably the perfect option for that. You know, you don't really get super immersed into it, and it's pretty easy to drop the controller when you got to, you know.
Exactly, yeah, just drop it in and out. Your kill death will go down, but who cares about those stats nowadays, you know what I mean? We used to care so much about those.
I know, that used to be life back in the day, you know.
All life. So the next one that we kind of wanted to bring to the limelight is, you know, determine how much time you need to play the game. You know, if it's something that's really story-driven and you're going to get immersed into it for hours, if there's no like save function, like say like Dark Souls, you really need to make sure you kind of coordinate with either the wife or maybe your mom can take the kid for the night so you can really get immersed into the game. I think that's really important. And you really need to stick to that time limit just out of respect of whoever is taking care of your child at the time.
Yeah. I mean, usually for me, I'll be naughty and, you know, stay up way too late.
Right.
To kind of catch up in a game. You know, there's been times I've stayed up till, you know, 2 a.m, you know, just trying to grind away at a game.
Yeah, like Destiny.
Just because, yes. Yes, like Destiny.
Yeah. That struggle was real trying to get that that t-shirt this year.
Yes, I unfortunately did not get the t-shirt this year.
Yeah, but, we'll get it. We'll get it next time.
Time caught up with me.
It kind of came out of left field too. Like it was out of nowhere. Like you kind of expected it with the first Destiny. Like there was kind of like a lead up to it. This one was kind of like all of a sudden. And then it was
threw it out there. They gave you a month.
Oh, it was. Well, I felt like it was like a week notice. It was weird. Okay. So it was a month.
Felt like a week's notice, but it was pretty close to a month. But yeah. I mean, the way that they announced it was kind of, it felt pretty quick.
It did. So yeah, I think the last bit of advice for this episode in regards to gaming, being a dad, is pleasure over difficulty, basically. So you can have that really immersive, hard experience to really challenge yourself, but you may not get through as much content. And there's a pleasure side that you kind of just want to complete it and be a completionist. So maybe, you know, you put it in easy mode. There's no shame in it. Just pop it into easy, play through it, enjoy it, get through it, and go back at a later time when you have some time to maybe get more achievements on those difficulty or the harder difficulties, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, for me, I'll pretty much play a game on whatever the factory setting is for the difficulty.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's usually where I'll where I'll start out with a game. I mean, I came from the generation of, you know, Nintendo hard.
Right.
So,
you die, it's over. Too bad. Suck it up.
Yeah, Nintendo really set the bar for, you know, difficulty. Because some of those games that on that console were viciously hard.
Viciously hard. Super hard.
Yes.
So that's basically the advice that we have this week for gaming as a dad. More will be coming down the pipeline. I'm sure we'll come up with different tips and things that we kind of experience and make things better, or try to make things better for ourselves to help you guys out. We'll move on to the next topic. We're going to talk today about the Marvel and Fox merger. Basically, it was reported about a year ago that there was going to be a merger between Walt Disney and 21st Century Fox. There were some other bidders out there. Fortunately, Walt Disney got it. And now we're seeing a merger of great Marvel classics being able to come together in the same universe. And I want to read a quote before we get into it. And it's basically just explaining the merger. It says, Walt Disney and 21st Century Fox have voted in favor of a deal in which Disney will acquire large portions of the Fox company. So it's not just the Marvel side of things. So the $71.3 billion deal will include 20th Century Fox film and TV studios, along with FX, Nat Geo, Star India, and Fox's 30% stake in Hulu and 39% stake in Sky. This appears to pave the way for Disney to own even more iconic brands, including the X-Men and Fantastic Four. And then as a final note here, aside from the obvious Marvel Comics synergy, this would also give Disney control over the Avatar franchise, The Simpsons, the Alien and Predator series. Holy balls. That is a lot of stuff that Walt Disney has just acquired.
Yeah, that is a lot of stuff. I'm curious to see how it plays out with franchises like The Simpsons that are kind of constantly pushing the envelope of what is, you know, considered PC and
right.
and not, you know.
Right. I think they would just leave that studio alone and just reap the rewards from all the royalties of all the merchandise sold and all that stuff, you know. I don't think they'll change anything. I mean, look at Alien Predator, right?
Yeah.
Violence and stuff.
They probably will leave it alone. I mean, it's tough to say. I mean, Disney is a very weird company about
what they claim.
Their image. You know, they're very, very, very conscious of their image.
That's very true. Very true. I think the thing that interests me most from this is the 30% stake in Hulu. Like, Fox just gave them their 30% stake in Hulu. Now, with Disney coming out with their streaming platform, it seems odd, right? Like, they now own another big league streamer, or at least 30% of it, which is a considerable chunk. If Disney, I'm not even sure if Disney had more in it.
Maybe they're going to bundle with Hulu, you know?
So Hulu Disney?
Maybe the...
Brilliant.
Well... Yeah, I mean, the way I would see it, if they own stakes in Hulu, they'll probably try to piggyback on it and get the two streaming services as a bundle package would be my guess.
Right, and wow, yeah, that would be, see, I was a little afraid about that Disney streaming service, but it'd be kind of bland and kid really only, but you're right, if they can bundle this with Hulu, a giant already, I mean, it's only 30%, they don't own like 50 or 51%, but there is that potential of them being able to now push out a stronger message faster, like really fast.
It's all entirely possible. I mean, just the fact that, we're finally going to see franchises like X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Come to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and yep. I mean, it's something that we've all been dying for how long?
Yeah. You know? I wonder if Hugh Jackman's going to come back for it.
Well, he had been quoted that if Disney purchased
he'd be more
the
than happy
X-Men
to come
franchise,
back, right?
Wasn't
he producing them for Fox? That. Wasn't he like the lead producer behind them? Or something? I'm not actually sure if that's true. We'll check on that, but I'm pretty sure he was a big... influencer.
He was heavily involved in the production, and a lot of his cameos in the later X-Men movies, he, from what I understand, didn't get paid to do. He just did them. And he wasn't, if you look at in the credits, he's not in the cast credits.
Really?
It's just a cameo.
Holy moly. Okay. All right. Well, that's
I
something.
I want to say the last movie that he did a cameo. It wasn't, I think maybe it was Days of Future Past, or it was one of the X-Men films, because they did a recap spoiler alert, they did a recap of you know, the Weapon X program, and he came out,
yes,
you know,
that's right,
in the Weapon X helmet and half naked, which yeah. it was a pretty cool cameo, but he was not in the credits.
That's interesting. Now that's someone that's really trying to get a brand to like sell and stabilize and take off and just continue to be great. So I'd be excited. I always liked him as Wolverine. I thought he was great. The cast around him sometimes wasn't the best, but you know, I like Days of Future Past. Like that one was really good. I like what's his name? That's all right. It's not important. I like the cast in that one, though. You know.
It was a pretty good movie. Definitely underrated. I mean, that's the sad part about the X-Men movies. I mean, they really weren't bad movies. They just
didn't. They kind of seemed like cheesy to me. They always seemed like, compared to the other Marvel Universe movies, it was just kind of
the first ones. The very first ones were very cheesy and tongue in cheek.
Yeah, they got more sophisticated. So the jokes became more subtle, but they were there. It got better. Kind of spinning off of the X-Men topic right now, or the discussion of X-Men, Deadpool, apparently they're coming out with a PG-13 version. How does that feel?
what's the point,
honestly? Deadpool's not supposed to be watered down. Like I don't get it.
Deadpool for years has been a comic that pushed the envelope of raunchiness, and
that was the point.
It's I'm sorry, people, but Deadpool is not meant for your 13-year-old.
No, it is not. He's made to make fun of the rest of the universe. He's that balance. He's a yin to the yang type of thing. Like, yeah, these guys are all in tights, super duper, let's go, you know, I'm not gonna say it, but let's go play with a unicorn. You know what I mean? So it's just like, it's raunchy, like you said. It's not, I don't think it's meant for these people's eyes. They're going to see it anyway. I mean, 13-year-old is going to go and see it, but
what's the difference? I mean, honestly, let's face it.
They've seen worse.
It's already been released on Blu-ray.
Right, right.
Why put out a PG-13 version?
Yeah.
What is the point?
Yeah, and I think
the only,
go ahead.
The only comical thing that could come out of the PG-13 version would be the fact that Fred Savage is making a cameo.
Yes. We'll post a picture in our newsletter next week of the picture. If you haven't seen it, you could obviously Google it if you wanted to, but it's a spoof on the Princess Bride opening scene with Fred Savage and Columbo. I'm gonna call him Columbo because that's the only role I've ever known him to be in. Basically, Deadpool is reading a book to Fred Savage. Sick Fred Savage. So that's hilarious. That's, and you know, if they put in more Easter eggs like into the movie like that, I'll be down to watch it. I'm not gonna let my kids watch it, of course. But that's hilarious.
The Easter eggs are, to me, what really made the first Deadpool movie.
Yes.
You know, the whole ending scene where it was a big spoof on Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I mean, that to me was you know, just the cream of the crop at the end of the movie, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just like, I'm thinking about it in my mind right now. It was really funny, and that's the point of Deadpool. And so again, they're releasing it, I believe, around Christmas time, PG-13 version of Deadpool, less gore, less blood and stuff like that is what they're saying. There only could be so many swears in a PG-13, so I'm assuming they cut a lot of those out too.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they're gonna cut quite a bit.
And that's why I'm hopeful they'll maybe put in these little things like this to kind of patch the gaps, right? So we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens. And kind of wrapping up this topic, Dark Phoenix and Gambit are both being delayed from their original release dates. So if you're really looking forward to those, they're just going to be pushed back slightly. And maybe it's because of the merger. Maybe they're going to redo some things. I doubt it. The movies are already probably well past post-production and stuff like that. But maybe contracts have to be redone. I don't know. Something like that.
I think it's more because the merger's happening. That's probably what's pushing it back.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Would be my guess.
Yeah, because they won't want something like this to overshadow one of their movies. So, and maybe they'll put it in cutscenes at the end to show something like they're going to be part of some other universe going forward. Who knows? So, So getting on to our last topic here, we're going to send this off with a big boom here. We mentioned it in our last one. We didn't really go into it, but Disney leaving Netflix. So just to give you a little bit of facts about where they stand currently and what their current contract was, Netflix has streaming rights for all movies that air in theaters from 2016 to 2018, and they have the right to stream those movies until 2020. So my guess, is that Disney streaming is going to launch just before 2020. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I would say probably late 2019 would be my guess. They're going to unveil it and put stuff out. I can see that they'll have, you know, this stuff on both platforms for a while.
Right, with the series continuing and everything like that.
Only because of contractual obligations, it would be my guess.
Right, and this news topic didn't touch on the exclusive series that Netflix has. You know, Daredevil, Punisher, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones. It didn't touch on that. Didn't mention anything about that.
No. 'Cause
this was just talking about the movies. So, like, your Moana, your Thor, all those movies that released in the last 2 years, those ones are going to be able to be on there till 2020. And I think the bigger news that came out from this, and this was actually just broke this past week, was the... do you want to announce this one?
Sure.
All right, go for it.
The announcement of a series that Jon Favreau is going to be directing.
Jon Favreau!
In the Star Wars universe.
So excited.
Basically, he announced that the series is going to focus on the Mandalorians, which is pretty huge.
It's humongous. This is awesome.
Now, that is a character set that I have been hoping for a long time that they would kind of focus on more and give us more of a backstory on them, you know.
Absolutely.
Very underplayed characters.
Very.
Not going to focus on Jango Fett or Boba Fett.
No.
It's going to be based on a separate character, which is okay by me.
Exactly. It's between the Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens, correct? That's the time frame we're talking about here?
It's supposed to... The time frame, I believe, is 7 years after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. And this is going to happen...
I heard.
Yeah, the outer Rim. I had to do a little bit reading up on it because obviously these movies came out well before me, but they're iconic. You watch them as a kid. My 4-year-old has seen, the Star Wars trilogy original, not the garbage that came before it. Don't at me. I don't care. Don't like, sorry.
I didn't care for the prequels. The first two prequels were awful. I tolerated Revenge of the Sith.
Yep.
It had some good story points to it, but
it was just
basically the only good part of Revenge of the Sith was the fight between Anakin and Obi-Wan, in my opinion.
Right. Sure. But let's move beyond that topic because we could spend the whole day on that one. Back to Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah.
iconic
debate on that all
figure
day long.
Of Boba Fett has forever probably been in fan fiction, in the Star Wars books as well, comics, so on and so forth. But just the image of Boba Fett just makes you, your imagination just goes wild, right? And when I read up more on the Mandalorians, they're a war-torn country. You know, basically what I got from it is it's like the Middle East. They kill each other all the time. They're battling for supremacy. They apparently owned many colonies throughout the galaxy, not just their own planet, but they had to move off, like a group of them had to move off onto their own planet just to survive, or I'm sorry, on their own moon to kind of reorganize. So like this one once mighty empire that even took down the Jedi at one point, I think it's awesome. I think this is great. This is like the Romans, you know, like they come in, they storm, they conquer all, and then all of a sudden they get too big for themselves. They can't protect their own borders and they crash down to the ground. I think it's awesome. Yep. I think this is going to be such a deep and interesting story. And Jon freaking Favreau is the one directing it. And that makes me so happy. So happy because he did such a brilliant... He ignited the Marvel Universe.
Yes, he started it all with Iron Man 1.
Exactly.
I mean, that was an excellent movie.
Fantastic. It started it all. I compare everything, and some of the listeners out there will know this, I compare everything to Iron Man 1. I say, they ask me, well, how would you like that movie? I'm like, it wasn't Iron Man 1 level, but you know, it was pretty good. Because that to me is the pinnacle. It's timeless. I love that movie.
It was really good. And then you get into later films. I mean, for me, The Winter Soldier really, to me, was on Iron Man 1 level.
Yes,
as far as
yep. Black Panther. I think that one was one of the tops as well. I really enjoyed Black Panther.
I liked Black Panther, but. Yep. I mean, I'm going to be honest, that was a character that I never really got into when I was a kid.
I got you, yeah.
So for me, great movie to see, but not particularly something that I would write home about. You know?
Sure, I think it just had all the right elements. I don't think I ever felt as stressed out as when, like for a movie, when they had the tribe versus tribe battle to see if anybody wanted to take him for the king. Like, oh my God, my heart was racing in the theater. I'm like, oh my God, this is like, you know, what, 30, maybe 40 minutes into the movie and we're already having like this kind of epic battle scene like this. I'm like, oh my God, my heart was pumping on my chest. I'm like, okay, all right, whew, all right, settle down. So I thought it had the comedy. I thought it had the good fight scenes. I thought it had a great story. So that was one of my, that I did compare it to, you know, like Iron Man 1 and Spider-Man Homecoming 2. I really liked that one as well. I thought that was good.
Yeah, Spider-Man Homecoming was excellent also. That to me is right up there also.
Yeah. And you know what? In the future episodes, yeah, go ahead.
I mean, you know, I'm in that area where, you know, Tobey Maguire was, you know, his Spider-Man to me until Tom Holland was pretty good, you know.
Well, it was the only one, right? So there's nothing really to compare him to. Spider-Man 3 was just
You had
bad.
Andrew Garfield before him.
No, Andrew Garfield came
Spider-Man
after
Spider-Man 3 was bad.
Garfield came after Toby.
When I say before...
Holland. I got you. You're right. I got you. Yeah, you're right. And so, Garfield got like really pooped on, but I didn't think he was that bad. I mean,
I did not like him at all.
Really?
To be honest.
You know, we're going to get into a Spider-Man topic later on a future episode, because I feel like there's a lot of stuff there to talk about, and we'll get there.
Yep.
Well, maybe we'll rewatch him, and then we'll come back to the topic. but again, see how easy it is to like come away from a topic like this, like Mandalorian.
Yep, I know.
I think it's going to be fantastic.
Mandalorian, we're talking about Spider-Man.
Yeah, and it's the Favreau magic, man. He does such a good job that you just want to start talking about the entire Marvel universe that bloomed from his amazing work on Iron Man 1. So, you know what? We'll kind of cut the topic there. There's a few other things that I wanted to kind of touch base on. First off is we got our first email. So that's exciting.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
After one episode. So we'll call this our mailbag segment, because I don't have another name for it yet. Or we don't have a name for it yet. So... this comes in from a listener, south of the Mass border, Yurka Vicious. He wanted to know, what our top five, Netflix originals, our top five favorite Netflix originals, and also what our top five Nintendo Switch games are. Do you want to kick this one off first?
Sure.
Netflix? Yeah, go. Let's start with the Switch. I feel like that one's going to be a little bit lighter. Yeah, let's start with the Switch.
Yeah, well, Switch is going to be tough for me because, I don't play my Switch quite as much as my Xbox, but...
Yep. Same here. And I just got mine, so this one will probably be pretty light.
Yeah. Hands down, my number one pick for Switch games is definitely Breath of the Wild.
Boom. Yep.
I'm a huge, huge, huge Legend of Zelda fan, and this game knocked it out of the park.
Awesome.
Just the mechanics of the game, the gameplay...
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to get lost in this game and look at the clock and say, my God, it's 1:30 in the morning. I have to go to work the next day.
All right. What's the next one?
My next one is Mario Kart 8.
Okay.
The Mario Kart series has been a pretty good staple in
of
the
course.
Series.
Yep.
And I think that they did a pretty good job of touching it up. I mean, it cleaned up really well for the Switch. Yeah. It looks a lot better on the Switch than it did on the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's fun, you know.
Yeah, to jump on that, I only have one game so far, so Mario Kart is my favorite as well. And I think the thing that I love about it the most is like the steering assist, the go pedal assist. Like my four-year-old can race with me and she can place, you know, in the top four because of those assistants. And I think that's fantastic. That's a brilliant idea. What's a better way to bring a kid into gaming than something that will allow their little hands to hold like a, you know, we got a steering wheel. I actually got the steering wheel things that the Joy-Con's going to. And she doesn't have to worry about holding the gas or sliding through a turn. It just automatically does it for her. And I think that's brilliant. So
that's pretty cool.
That's my only Switch game. What's your last one?
My last one, well, I've got two more.
Go ahead.
My next one is the version of Shovel Knight on the Switch.
I've wanted to
pretty
play
fun
that.
Game. It's a pretty cool game. It's, you know, set up in, you know, 8-bit, so it brings me right back to being a kid. and the gameplay is also viciously hard, just like the old school Nintendo games.
Heard that. Which makes me happy. I want to try that one out a lot.
It's pretty cool. It's challenges are always definitely good. Worth a play. I'm glad I picked it up. It's a fun game. It's, you know, something that you can just jump into and jump off of it when you're frustrated and can't take it anymore.
Right. All right. What's your last one?
My last one is kind of a weird game. I got it with the bundle that I got with the Switch. Snipper Clippets.
Snipper Clippets. All right. Explain.
Yes, it's a pretty weird game. It's basically all about geometry. You know,
okay.
Matching. You have to play it to really understand. It's just weird and kind of fun to play. So right. I would say check it out. You know, it's a cheesy game, but it's fun.
All right, yeah. No, I'll definitely have to check that one. I'm definitely going to be checking out Shovel Knight. I actually had a 3DS, and I was going to try it on that when it released, but I never got around to getting it, and then I traded in the 3DS like an idiot. I do that too often. I trade in things too soon, too fast. But anyway, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole today either. We'll wait for another day. Yep. Put it on the list. All right, so let's move on to Netflix.
How about you? What about your list?
I only have Mario Kart. It's the only game I've played. I guess, okay, so I can say Mario
That's
Kart.
Your game.
And the NES original, the collection, I guess you could call it.
The online collection.
I guess I played that too, and that brought back some feels. But really, right now, I've only played the Mario Kart, and it's really been with my daughter, so it's been a lot of fun, and I've really enjoyed it. That's all I can really give you right now. I'll report back later after I get a few more games, you know, hopefully this Christmas. Wink, wink. Wifey, wink, wink. She's going to hit me for that one. Okay, so let's move on to Netflix. Why don't you give your first one, and then I'll give mine, and we'll kind of go back and forth like that. And maybe we'll overlap, and that'll be fine too. All right, so you can start it
off. My first pick is out of the Marvel Universe, Daredevil.
Yep.
Pretty solid show. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it quite a bit. The further into the seasons that you get, it just gets better. You know, I liked seeing how the character developed and, you know, to see, you know, what makes Matt Murdock want to be Daredevil. It's a pretty solid show.
I completely agree with that. And that was actually one of my choices as well. And I specifically put season one. I was not a fan of season two. I felt like it kind of dragged a little bit too much, and it was really trying to feed into the Defender series. But season one was brilliant.
Season two definitely did drag a little bit.
Yeah.
Season one was really, really, really good.
It was so good. That's just like the Favreau experience with like Iron Man 1. Like this was the first one, and it launched it. I thought it was great. Actually, no. Did Daredevil launch or did Jessica Jones do it? It's Jessica Jones? I'll fact check that and come back to you. It might have been Jones, Luke Cage, Daredevil.
I believe it was Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, then Daredevil.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, now that you say that out loud, I believe that is the way it went. So, oops. But to me, Daredevil is the one who lifted it up because, like I said last episode, Jessica Jones took me almost 2 years to finish. It ended up being really good at the end, but I just couldn't, for whatever reason, time in my life, I couldn't get through it. All right, so my next one is Big Mouth. Have you ever seen this one? It's an animated series.
No.
It's hilarious. It's a group of youth that are going through puberty, and they have puberty monsters, and they are the most funny. Just the things that are said on the show and the way things are handled. It's just hilarious to me. I would definitely recommend checking it out. It's so freaking funny. It's so good. just like the most raunchiest jokes you can think of. It's great. It's like it shows girls going through puberty and their hormone monster and their puberty monster, and then boys going through it and how they both handle it going through that time in their lives. So it's called Big Mouth. Definitely check it out. So what you got next?
Well, my next one is what we've talked on this before, but it's Castlevania.
Yep. Okay.
Really solid show. The animation is spot on. It's very dark. Brings you right back to Symphony of the Night.
All
right. And, you know, for me, it's really good.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, from what you said last episode and bringing it up again on your top five, I will definitely have to check this out now. Though I did see a clip of it. Like, I put it into my queue, and from the animation, it almost looks like Full Metal Alchemist, that type of animation. But, yeah, I definitely want to check it out. So my next one is called Mindhunter. Have you heard of this one?
No.
Okay. So good. This is good. This is different. So good. So this one is about two FBI agents and kind of the creation of profiling, how to profile serial killers. It was really good. So basically the first season, one wants to start like a profiling department, and this younger guy comes on and he agrees to kind of follow him around. They go to police departments and train them how to profile correctly, like, you know, how to spot a serial killer, what's a serial killer, what's not. And then it kind of gets a little dark too. Like the younger one kind of seems to see their point in things and kind of starts to kind of get into it a little bit too much. But then that's kind of where it stopped. What's your next show?
Well, my next show is back to the Marvel Universe.
Okay.
Punisher.
Okay. Very nice.
It's very dark, very, very gritty, and you just can't go wrong. It's one of those Marvel characters that's just an anti-hero, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not afraid to do what he's going to do, you know?
Yeah. I like the relationship that they had in that. Like, all the actors worked really well in that series together.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the fact that, you know, they mesh together as far as characters from other shows, you know.
Yeah, other genres and everything.
Daredevil makes an appearance in it. Again, you know, for me, you know, I read the Punisher comic a lot when I was a teenager. it was really cool to see it on the screen for me,
sure.
You know.
For sure, yeah, to come to life.
But what's your next?
So this one I kind of grouped together. It's Stranger Things, season one and season two. Absolutely love this series. I can't get enough of it. I think it's brilliant. It's different. It brings you back, like just the music, the way everyone's dressed. I just love everything about it. It's just really, really good. It brings me back to see, like, the times that they're going to are before me, but I still feel connected to it somehow. Because you know how they like rerun shows when you're a kid and you kind of feel like you're back in that time. That's how it feels for me.
Yep.
It just feels like a simpler time. It feels like the Goonies with Indiana Jones, and it just feels really good. I really enjoyed the series so far. You know, when someone's killed off, it makes sense. It's not just to have somebody killed off. I really, really enjoyed it. Is this your last one or second to last?
Second to last.
All right, what you got?
I gotta say, I'm a huge Dave Chappelle fan.
Okay.
And to see him come back, you know, specifically straight up for Netflix.
Yep.
His stand-up show is phenomenal.
It's brilliant. Yeah. It's really good.
I mean, we spent a lot of time watching his TV show just to be able to hear his stand-up again after, I want to say, he was away for a solid 10 years.
It's been a long time, yeah.
Pretty cool. His comedy is very...
It's to the point.
Borderline as far as, yes.
It's to the point you get his message.
he's not afraid to say what he wants to say.
No, he is not. And I applaud him for it.
For me, if you haven't checked it out yet, check it out because it's hilarious.
Yeah, I definitely watched, I think it was the first, it's a two-parter, right? I think I watched the first one with the wife, and it was brilliant. It brought me back to watching the Chappelle show. It was just great, and I really wish that he hadn't, I can't even say this because I'm not sure, but I wish he wouldn't have burnt out. But what are you going to do? He's making like a show every single day with all these new skits every single time, and it was really good.
Well, I think the big thing with him, it was creative differences that really
true.
Broke
and he did
down
explain that
him.
Too. Yeah. All right. So my last one. I'm not sure if you've seen this one either. Sense8. Did you see that one?
No.
Wow. Okay. So you have some shows to watch. it was a sci-fi type thing. Basically, 8 people randomly in the world are all connected through their conscience, right? And they can kind of tap into each other through their life experiences and kind of be a part of them while they're doing things. There's a lot of nudity. So warning, there's a lot of nudity, both female and male. And so it's every walks of life through, you know, Africa, Asia, North America, South America. It's everyone across the globe. And it's just fantastic how it interweaves. The show actually got canceled because it was too expensive to make the show. They would actually travel to these locations. And because you had these parts of the show where both actors were supposed to be in one location and then the next scene they were in a different location, they would literally fly these people all the way around the world, crazy, willy-nilly, and be in Chicago and then be in Germany and then be in Africa and then, you know, South America. And it was just, it was insanity. It really was cool and different idea on how the mind works. I know they canceled it, I believe, before the last episode because it was too expensive. And then they rallied together, like, people online were like, gotta bring it back, gotta bring it back. And they finally brought it back and they did their finale and it was great. So I highly recommend, I hope that they do bring the show back one day and figure out the expense part, but it was great. It was really good. So I definitely suggest watching that one. So that's my last one. What do you got? What's your last one?
My last one is a show called Nailed It.
Oh, yes. Yes.
this show is absolutely hilarious.
Yes, it is.
The premise of the show is they get 3 contestants that are not very good at cooking or baking or anything, and
it's so good.
They have to recreate these cakes and that are made by top chefs. And they have to try so to do their best to mimic, you know, what the cake looks like. And
bad.
The end product is so bad that you have to laugh and say, thank God that's not me.
Exactly. And the contestants generally take it pretty well and they laugh right along. They know they're horrible. Like they know they're bad. No surprise.
They're basically just, being bad just to hope that they get the money.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, and the commentary from the judges are pretty
spot on and hilarious.
Man.
Nicole's the host, right? Nicole? She's hilarious.
Yes.
Absolutely hilarious. Yeah, she's
pretty funny. And some of the guests, you know, the guest hosts that they have on are pretty funny too.
Yeah.
Definitely a show to check out.
All right. So
if you're looking for a good laugh.
It's a great in-between series show where you can watch it, you can drop it, you can pick it up during your next, you know, in-between shows, like serious shows watching. It's a great middle of ground watch. There you have it. South of the Massachusetts border, Yerka Vicious. I hope that appeases your question. And I hope everyone else sends us more. You can send it at our email, which is gentlemangeekpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @gentleman_geek. And you can also, we're going to be putting out a weekly kind of newsletter thing on the bye weeks when we're not recording. And that's gentlemangeekpodcast.wordpress.com. So that's that for this episode. Hara, you got anything else to add?
No, I think that pretty much does it. I think we've had a pretty solid show, and I want to say thank you to all our listeners and
all the
people that subscribe to us right out of the chute in our first week of doing a podcast. Thank you, everybody. I truly do appreciate.
Yeah, we both do appreciate
subscribers.
It. Yeah, the subscribers, the reviews left on iTunes. We really appreciate that. We thank you very much, and we look forward to making just fun, silly, interesting conversation and content going forward. We're middling around with some ideas for some other platforms, and maybe that news will be breaking soon. So, with that,
absolutely.
Peace out.
Thank you.